B-Pod Studios.
Ready, set, go!
This is Checkpoint XP Daily, your daily dose of esports and video game discussion. A complete look at all things esports and gaming. A production of Beasley Esports XP. Here are your hosts, Nate Bender, Robbie Landis, Norris Howard, and Joe Sloan.
Checkpoint reached.
Hey, welcome into Checkpoint XP Daily for Thursday, October 24th, 2019. Your home for esports and gaming. Coming up today on Checkpoint XP Daily, you think a sitcom could work for esports? As NBC is trying. Also, Mixer just got another amazing acquisition.
Podcast.
A great talent acquisition. Shroud is now an exclusive streamer for Mixer. Those conversations ahead here today on Checkpoint XP. Well, listen, I've got a conversation that has, I just can't get this out of my head. Could VR be the actual savior for MMOs?
For the multiplayer online game. Ooh.
That's right. So, real quick, all right, for those, for the uninitiated, MMORPGs, they stand for Massively Multiplayer Online Role-Playing Games, the largest notable in their World of Warcraft.
Yeah.
So the most obvious point of comparison.
Yeah.
And for those who don't know, World of Warcraft is not the powerhouse that it once was. It's still huge.
Correct.
But not like it once was. And it's kind of the only example of a real powerhouse game that still remains.
I would say for the better part of 10 years... MMOs were one of the most popular game genres.
I'd say so from about, what, 04 to 14?
I would say that's probably accurate. Yeah, absolutely. So, and then for those that are really, really uninitiated, VR stands for virtual reality.
Yeah. Which, in and of itself, still has yet to take off. So are you thinking that if... the whole can VR save MMOs, I think it has to be a mutually beneficial arrangement.
Well, here's the first thing, right? Here's the first supposition here, is that MMOs in their current state are fundamentally unsustainable.
I would agree with that, yeah.
I'd agree. Sure.
They are fundamentally unsustainable. As a economic engine for your company, I just don't think that they have the same sort of appeal that they did, you know, five years ago.
There's too many free-to-play options out there today for you to be able to sustain an MMO model, for more than maybe two to exist.
So now you want to throw on another $200, $300 investment to be able to play?
Well, because here's the thing. MMOs, by definition, are games that are absolutely massive. They take place in really large worlds. They have a lot of lore. They have a lot of things to be able to go and see and consume.
Yep.
And honestly, in my opinion, one of the few genres of games that actually do capture the sense of scale, grandeur, and wonderment.
And adventuring.
And adventuring that films, in a certain sense, do. I think by adding the layer of VR, you create a new experience that previously video games have not necessarily been able to do. So I think for me, the question is not, can VR save the MMO? I think MMOs could save VR.
It's a little bit of the chicken or the egg kind of question, right? I don't think that's either here or there, but you did say something really important, and that's the scale, the massive part of the MMO acronym is really important, because I feel like single player games have caught up to the large world feel that MMOs used to be able to deliver.
I'll agree with
that. And one of the only ways that you can kind of fully replicate that sense of scale, I believe, would be through VR. There's a second component that I also think is really critical to VRs and MMOs, and why I think they would create such a beautiful marriage, is that at one point in time, online games were focused
mostly in a social capacity.
Yes.
You didn't have tools like party finders or, you know, matchmaking services.
Or instance dungeons.
Correct. You had none of that. So you had to use your ability to socialize to be able to get anything done in these games that you wanted to play. And I think through VR, the way that it is also inherently social is another way to kind of bring that aspect back without having to turn back any of the advances made in modern MMOs.
And I think that's a really interesting way to look at it and a really good point, but I want to also echo the very thing that Robbie has brought up. MMOs are incredibly expensive to develop and maintain.
Absolutely.
For companies. And you already have a consumer base now in Gen Z that is very used to drop-in, drop-out style games, free-to-play games, and microtransactions. It's clearly been shown that that is how the next generation wants to consume their games.
Sure.
And even the few that do take part in MMOs, they're playing games that are very, 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 acquiescent to that style of gaming. And Robbie brought up something that's very important, is that VR is not affordable right now. Even to this day, it is not affordable. So you're going to take the most expensive genre of game to make and pair it with the most expensive peripheral to consume in gaming and pair them and hopefully make something that people will want to buy.
But Norris,
I think that's really difficult to try to sell to people.
But Norris, what is currently the most popular feature of any VR?
I don't know. I don't have any VR.
VR chat.
Oh, I was about to say VR porn, but that's okay.
Well, when that becomes a real thing that we see it will be the most popular feature.
No, that's already a real thing.
Oh.
It's definitely.
Well, give it some time to develop. It's going to be the most popular
feature.
No, give
it some time to be cheap.
My point is that the underlying interest that I think drives interest in an MMO is sort of the same thing that people are interested in exploring about VR.
Mm-hmm.
I think the novelty of exploring a virtual world that is also single player wears off very, very quickly.
Yes.
So how do you get exposure and use for the system to be longer? I think that if you have a multiplayer component, if you are bringing people together, suddenly that's a much more interesting hook to get people invested emotionally in using the platform.
Yeah. Well, I think it also answers a question about development with MMOs that we've been trying to see answered for a long time. One of the bigger issues is how much time it takes to develop and create all the little interactions with the world that you need to make the world feel alive.
Sure.
But if you are now walking down a street, right, a busy street, and you're hearing conversations from people who are just sitting there chatting, you're creating that a live world without ever having to actually programming anything. Mm-hmm. The players themselves are
the
creating.
Users are doing it.
The other half of that, of course, is that once the servers slow down a little bit, it's going to feel like a ghost town in a hurry.
Yeah.
But I feel like you're right, Nate. I feel like it's the social element of MMOs that made them so popular for the better part of a decade. And it's the social aspect of VR that is going to keep it alive.
But at the same time, I still feel like that's a massive thing to ask of a player base. And we already saw it when it comes to certain games that are dependent on certain peripherals in order to be able to function. I'm thinking of games like, I don't know, like Steel Battalion or even like Seaman or something like that, where you had to have all these
Seaman.
What a call from the 90s.
But really? You can't go with Let's Go Pikachu or anything like that?
But a game that you had to have a peripheral to fundamentally enjoy it are games that usually don't do as well as other ones, even in the same genre.
You cannot look at VR as a peripheral.
That's not what it is right now.
No, it's a platform.
Yeah, well, that's what
it is different. It is you invest in a VR like you invest in a PlayStation 4.
Okay, at that point then, if that's the way you want to look at it, as the person who owns a VR headset, right now it is still a peripheral. So when it starts to come with consoles,
you bought the cheapest one. Nobody told you to do that.
But the point is,
okay. But even if you had an Oculus, Oculus is basically a peripheral.
No, because
in your vision, is the MMO VR exclusive? You have to have VR to play the MMO.
Yes.
Okay. In that case, I think it's going to be hard to take off. Because again, as me and Norris have pointed out, VR is not that widely accepted right now. That is a deep cost just for the price of entry, just to try it out.
I think what you're going to need to see is a platform like the HTC Vive or the Oculus. Is something, one of those two is going to have to start establishing its own library of games that are kind of exclusive to it.
I agree.
Or what will more likely end up being is VR will be the platform, and then the Vive can access it or the Oculus
right.
can access
but
it.
But those platforms right now haven't shown us from a software standpoint that they can handle something like this on this type of scale. And when we're talking about the level of content that Nate will want, in a perfect world, do I think it could work? Of course. Would I want it to work? Of course. That sounds like a great idea. But as it stands right now, the software developers for VR have not gotten the platform to that level
See,
yet.
But you're peripheral. Again, Norris, you're presupposing that it has to be an original game that's developed and it couldn't be a port. You could take something like Fallout 76, mm-hmm. easily port it to VR and prove the concept right then and there. Mm-hmm. And we know that they can do it because Fallout 4 got ported to VR very easily.
Yeah, well, and so did Skyrim. But yet, how many people went out and bought the VR version of Skyrim?
Well, because
anyone who had a VR headset.
Yes, because it was the only good game to play on the VR headset.
But the point is that those games are just games that you're now experiencing in VR. That was something like an MMO could have an added benefit to being in VR that wouldn't be there just playing it on your console.
Not just that, but as a diehard MMO player for the better part of 15 years, this would be something to make me pick up the hardware.
Yeah.
Hands down. We want to hear from you. Would this make you want to invest in VR headwear? Connect with us on social media. That's Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter, and Checkpoint_XP on Instagram. Coming up on Checkpoint XP Daily, Shroud has moved his stream over to Mixer. What is that going to mean? We're going to break that down to wrap up today's Checkpoint XP Daily. But ahead next, you think a sitcom could work for esports? Yeah, I have my doubts. Yeah, that's a great way to put it. That's coming up next on Checkpoint XP Daily.
This is Checkpoint XP, esports and gaming radio.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
This is Checkpoint XP, esports and gaming radio. CheckpointXP.com.
Can a sitcom work for esports? I don't know, but two are going to try. Welcome back to Checkpoint XP, your home for esports and gaming. I want to thank everyone listening on the heartbeat of East Texas, 104.3 in Carthage, 103.9 in Marshall, as well as 1250 ESPN San Antonio and the Zone 1150. Checkpoint XP Daily is now a part of the B-Pod Network at B-Pod Studios. For more great listening options like Nerd Radio and Geek Culture Congress, two shows you can find streaming live on our Twitch channel, twitch.tv/checkpointxp. Make sure you subscribe to their podcasts over at bpodstudios.com, the place to be for podcast discovery. So I've got a question. Do you guys like the Big Bang Theory?
No, not particularly.
Neither do I. Well, it looks like the minds behind the Big Bang Theory are set to try to strike gold twice in nerd world by basing their next sitcom off of esports.
When you say the minds behind, are we talking producers, actors, writers? Like, I need to know specifically.
Writers and
okay, no, that's all I need to know.
And
yeah, no, I don't.
One of the stars,
Johnny Galecki, right?
Yeah.
All right. I know I'm gonna be a man on island on this, but not only could it work, it might have to work.
Here's the question I'm asking you. Are you asking me, is it going to be good or successful? Because those are
two different questions.
Those are very different questions,
I
worry.
That's fair.
That's fair.
Because good, subjective. We all can sit here and dogpile on if it's good or not. Successful, if it's coming from the folks who did the Big Bang Theory, there are not many shows that were more successful than that
one. Say what you will. It went like 8 or 9 seasons?
Yeah, so...
It's hard to, yeah, it's hard to argue with the Big Bang Theory didn't do well.
In terms of success.
It was a very successful show. A lot of actors owe their career to that show.
Well, and on top of that, if you have a show like Big Bang Theory for something like esports, I think that that is something that could really help move the industry into the mainstream. Because right now we're always talking about what is the next step for esports in order to sort of crack the zeitgeist, if you will, to be complete one, you know, saturation amongst the general populace.
Yeah.
We're starting to see it a lot more in terms of like college and high school esports, and there's now consistent coverage on it from outlets like ourselves.
Sure.
But there's still that thing that it's missing.
Okay.
To All where right. people just kind of don't really know.
I'll give you that. Do you think a sitcom like this will elevate esports to that level? Because I don't know that it will.
I don't think it's a question of elevation. I think, first of all, I think for anything to be popular, it must be satirized. That's just how I feel about everything.
Sure.
And I think for as much as we want to protect esports as something that is new and emerging, I also think we can't be afraid of our own shadow, if you will. And we have to let people make fun of it. So we can kind of take the veneer down ourselves. All right, man, it is ridiculous on his face, but it's also really awesome, which is sort of what I hope it accomplishes. But to answer your question, I think I'm neutral. I think it'll do both. I think certain people will take it and want to get into esports, and certain people will continue to laugh.
See, here's the thing, though, is that, you know, we had this YouTube Red show that was that kind of used esports as a wraparound. Mm-hmm. And that was done by people who have been active in the video gaming media space for decades.
Yep, and guess
what? It also had Dan Harmon as one of the producers, who I would have said probably tops my list for people that I would want involved in a show like this, mm-hmm. because of the community was so well done, and it left with the audience that it was making fun of and not at the audience it was making fun of, which is how I feel. I feel the Big Bang Theory laughs at nerds, not with them. Right.
Yeah.
Like that's why my parents found it so funny, mm-hmm. is that
that's my son.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So here's my thoughts on it. And the reason I don't think this can work yet, I don't think it's far off being able to work. I think it's about a decade out from being able to work. But at the end of the day, you look at something like the Big Bang Theory, and it's got dang near 60 years of nerd culture to pull from. Like, I mean, Trekkies have been, or that goes back to the 60s.
Yeah.
Sure.
So the people who worked on this grew up immersed in a world where this all exists. Mm-hmm. People who are going to be working on this, I mean, esports as we know it today has really existed for 8 years.
I'm going to fight you on this because looking at the other show, because again, there's two of them. There's not just this one that's being done by the Big Bang Theory guys. There's also one that's going to be done, from what we've heard of the rumors so far, sort of in like an office, you know, The Office,
single camera comedy.
Right.
Right.
And this isn't going to be, I don't think this should be a show about esports. It's about the people. The people who are out there playing esports, like you and me, like our parents or our siblings, are still just people. So every episode shouldn't be intrinsically about the esport that's happening. It's about the characters and their lives, and it just happens to include esports.
But to me, that should concern you way more.
Yeah.
Because what do we know about the people who are esports athletes? What does the average person know about them? We don't have the big stars and household names yet to give people an idea of what to expect.
They go through the same things that we do.
But I understand his point. But to address both Joe and Nate, I think with the Dan Harmon show, we had people who knew gaming. And first of all, YouTube Red didn't do anything good. So.
No, I'll give you that. But yeah. I mean, the minds behind that show should have been able to tackle the subject with, at least some deftness. And it was completely not that.
So what we did is we took people, Dan Harmon aside, but we took, you know, sort of halfway. We took Dan Harmon, we took his team, and the people who made that show, which were people who knew esports and nerds and nerd culture and esports culture, right? I'm okay with people who know TV trying this to know what, because they know what makes good TV, and that is the point. And so if we take something like Frasier, for instance, which nobody knows what the hell a psychologist does, and yet you took something like Frasier and you took the two smartest people in that room and you made something funny out of it.
Right, but psychology as an industry isn't so new. You know, it wasn't only 15 years young when Frasier started. But you know what I mean? Like, I think that the big concern here is that esports is so primordial that this is going to be people's first exposure to it, mm-hmm. and they're going to form every opinion based on this.
I'm angry that I have to say this in this room, but let's stop acting like esports is just 15 years old. Because it's not. It's only been seeing this level of investment for a few years. There's lore in professional gaming that you could pull from from nigh on 30 years.
If you get the
consultants and you get the people involved, you have stuff to pull from. So I refuse to believe that there's no concept.
You really think that they're going to pull a storyline from Korean StarCraft from 95? I doubt it.
Dude, they've pulled obscure enough references out of Star Wars and Star Trek on the Big Bang Theory, so come on, bro.
All right, well, listen, we got to hear from you on this. What do you think about these two new shows that are going to be coming to NBC and CBS? Connect with us on social media. That's Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter, and Checkpoint_XP on Instagram. Coming up next on Checkpoint XP Daily, Shroud has made the big jump over to Mixer. What does that mean for the streaming scene? We're going to talk about it next on Checkpoint XP Daily.
Checkpoint XP, esports and gaming radio.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
This is Checkpoint XP, esports and gaming radio. CheckpointXP.com.
Another massive streamer has joined Ninja over on Mixer. Welcome back to Checkpoint XP, your home for esports and gaming. Want to thank everyone listening on ESPN Central Texas, KZRI and KTON in Waco, Texas, as well as ESPN 97.5 in Houston. Sounded like I was running out of air there. You've been asking for it. It's finally here. Checkpoint XP merch is officially available. We've got shirts, hats, hoodies, and mugs for Checkpoint XP, Low Team Damage, and the Other Identity. Plus, we've got a brand new shirt and hoodie that's available for a limited time this fall and holiday season. Check it out over at CheckpointXP.com/shop. Got a ton of new designs in there, too. Definitely go check it out. So another huge, gigantic streamer has left Twitch and joined Ninja over on Mixer as a Mixer exclusive. And I gotta say, I was very surprised by this name, Shroud. Oof. Has joined the ranks of Mixer.
Oh, you mean, by the way, taking a look at Twitch Tracker, he was number one for current subs. He's now number three. Can't help but wonder if that's because of this particular move here.
Could be, yeah.
Masterclass.
It's really interesting. I mean, you know, Mixer is obviously being aggressive with their tactics here.
They got him on the day the new Call of Duty comes out. Yeah, I'd say that they got their tactics down.
Yeah, I mean, that's I think, masterstroke, getting him on the day that Call of Duty releases. That way, like, you're really maximizing you know, the hype here.
He's the Call of Duty streamer. Is there anybody in Call of Duty that's bigger than Shroud, to your knowledge?
There's not many people bigger than Shroud. I can think of one. Oh, yeah, Ninja.
Well, I mean, in first-person shooters in general, right? Yeah. Whether it be, you know, PUBG or even Fortnite for a little bit of time.
And that's the thing. That's where Shroud is very known from. For those, you know, those in the audience that are like, who's this Shroud guy? He has been, you know, streaming for a long time and is uncannily good. Like, this is a dude whose skills are undeniable, has played pro at the pro level multiple times, but has since decided that he wants to pursue streaming. And yeah, like Robbie, you had brought this up, one of the top subscribed to channels on Twitch.
I would argue he's a little bit less charismatic than someone like Ninja was. I don't think he quite has the same charisma.
Yeah, he's a little flatter.
But he also has way more skill than Ninja.
But his ability to play can't be denied.
You know what it is? He's more deadpan. He's more even. He's not as excitable as some of the, you know, the ninjas of the world.
When he gets taken out, he doesn't freak out. He just goes, huh.
New game.
Well, yeah, exactly. Well, yeah. Or he'll, like, his comedy even, that'll be like, well, that was unfortunate. And move on, something like that.
But I think the biggest takeaway here is that this is yet another sort of shot across the bow of Twitch and Mixer saying, we will pay these big streamers to come over to our platform and we will poach your talent. And I think if you're Twitch, I think at the very least you have to ask yourself a very serious conversation in terms of what direction are we taking our platform?
Because I definitely think that this puts the ball squarely in Twitch's corner. And obviously they're a massive platform. You know, they have built in the reason to be a part of the platform. It's pretty undeniable why anyone would end up signing up there, or if the question Twitch v Mixer is even, it's not even a question. Twitch is undeniably way huger.
Well, it's not a question yet, right? Like, Mixer is making some plays to try to make it a question.
Here's the thing is that reports have recently come out that there has not been a uptick in new users or new viewers because of the Ninja move.
Right.
As a matter of fact, there's been more users in terms of streamers, people actually joining the platform to be content creators, but there has not been an uptick in viewership. Mm. I.e., or ergo, that means there's not more people watching the ads.
Which has to come first, though, the users or the streamers?
No, I think it actually has to be the viewers.
It has to be. I think it has to be the viewers when you're making moves like this, right? Because the whole objective between this is you get these big names so they come to your platform and they view. And some of them invariably will also become content creators as well. But as it stands, the pull of esports and having the exclusive exclusive streaming rights to stuff like OWL and, you know, having Worlds and all these other big esports exclusively on Twitch or only on Twitch and maybe one other outlet, has proven that puts Twitch above the fold.
It does seem like that is Twitch's play here, that they're going after events, large, you know, really large scale sort of stuff, like you were saying, the Overwatch League, or, you know, we've even started seeing traditional sports work their way onto Twitch through exclusive deals. And yeah, it does feel like Mixer has seen this and gone, okay, well, then we're just going to poach your talent, your organic talent, which, that's fine. But I remember another company doing this in the mid-90s. It was in the wrestling business.
Oh.
WCW did this. And it led to eventually an environment of overpaid egotists that sat around and collected checks as opposed to work. And this, the $1 million question, and I mean literally the $1 million question here, is what do these agreements look like? Yeah. How much is Mixer actually paying them, compensating them to try to leverage their audience over to their platform? Because I guarantee you, Ninja and Shroud don't make this move unless they're getting the bag.
And not just getting the bag. guaranteed money.
Absolutely.
Because that's the thing, is that Twitch already was very much so a cash cow for streamers on the level of Ninja and Shroud, and so you're not going to make a move that will essentially bifurcate the vast majority of your audience without getting guaranteed money. And I think that is the part that's frustrating for me, is that we don't know, and nor are we entitled to know, but we don't know the details of these contracts. They're not pro sports players. Right. They're not.
They have no reason to let them out.
Yeah, they have no reason to disclose those deals.
Oh, God, but I'm so curious.
Yes, I am curious as all get out to find out how much these deals are worth.
And I think that really just comes from knowing what the ceiling is, or that there seemingly is, it feels like almost no ceiling for a streamer. Is some of these guys are making an incredible amount of money.
How much was Ninja making at his peak? Something like, was it 10 million or 3 million a month?
Exactly. So you have to ask yourself, and obviously that ends up leveling out, but you got to ask yourself, what is Microsoft actually bringing to the table that is convincing enough, that is enough of an incentive to get them to forego all of that income? Listen, we want to hear from you. What do you make of Shroud's big move? Connect with us on social media. That's Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter, and Checkpoint_XP on Instagram. Thanks for joining us for Checkpoint XP Daily, the first internationally syndicated show on esports and gaming for radio. Visit our website, checkpointxp.com, for insight on esports and gaming, as well as a full archive of podcasts, episodes, and interviews. Join us Monday through Friday at 4 p.m. Eastern, live at twitch.tv/checkpointxp. Our theme is provided by the band Weird At Last. Find more at weirdatlast.com. Checkpoint XP Daily is a production of Beasley Esports XP. Lead segment producing by Joe Sloan, brand management by Chad Callahan, and of course my co-hosts who pull double duty as producers for Checkpoint XP Daily, Robbie Landis, Norris Howard, and Joe Sloan. My name's Abe Bender. Keep listening.
You've been listening to Checkpoint XP, a complete look at all things esports and gaming. Check out the latest esports and gaming news and opinions at checkpointxp.com.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.